I'm Chris from All Things Good and Nerdy, a proud member of the Gunna Geek Network, just like the show you're listening to right now. The opinions expressed are those of the individual hosts. Make sure you check out all the other great podcasts at GunnaGeekNetwork.com and get ready because geekiness begins in 3, 2, 1.
In a world where technology has brought order and awakened chaos, three men have embraced their destiny to slay the technological beast, or something like that. Join in the laughs because it's time for the Digital Soup Podcast with Jason, Adam, and usually Dave.
Hi, welcome to the Digital Soup Podcast, episode 37.
Whoa.
Yeah, I know. Amazing, right? Now, this show, it captures all the fun of the electronic expos, you know, just without any of those icky cosplay girls. My name is Jason, and joining me are two of the best cosplay boys I know, Adam and usually Dave. What's up, guys?
What's up? I'm dressed like a Ninja Turtle right now.
Which one? I got to know.
Donatello.
Oh, man, I would have picked Michelangelo.
Michelangelo. I would have picked Golden Light. Michelob.
I was thinking of Michelob right there.
I do the nunchucks and the dude jokes.
Yeah.
I do the stick. You know, what's the stick called? The bow stick?
The bow staff.
The bow stick. Oh, isn't that one of the Duke boys?
This guy failed on a ninja game.
Bow stick and Luke stick?
Bow stick?
Yeah, I have no idea where I'm going with that.
Oh, man.
I'm a little loopy right now.
It's late.
It's late. It's late on a Labor Day weekend.
Yep. And one of us had to work today while the other two just took pictures and played music.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Right.
Basically.
Well, Adam, yeah. He was catching up with the Golden Girls. He was marathoning them.
Yeah. Golden Girls?
The Golden Girls, yeah.
Oh, Girls. I thought you said Gota Girls. I'm like, what's that?
So that's the new cheese show. They talk about all the different...
It's very Gouda. Gouda. The Gouda Girls?
Man, I can't hear today. I'm sorry. My earballs aren't working.
Here today, gone tomorrow.
No, that's hair today.
Yeah.
My hair is completely gone. I mean...
Oh, boy. We're starting off really well.
Yeah, I like it. I like the way we started. So let's, let's just.
Should we dive into a topic?
Let's get into that weekly riddle, probably, right?
Yeah. Let's do that. So last week we had a little longer one. Did we get any submissions in? Or
you know what? We did.
Yep. So last week the riddle we asked was: an old man wanted to leave all of his money to one of his three sons, but he didn't know which one he should give it to. He gave each of them a few coins and told them to buy something that would be able to fill their living room. The first man bought straw, but there was not enough to fill the room. The second bought some sticks, but they still did not fill the room. And the third man bought two things that filled the room, so he obtained his father's fortune. What were the two things that the man bought? You guys have any guesses on what this could be?
He took the straw from the first guy and the sticks and then lit it on fire and then filled it with smoke because he bought some matches. That's my guess.
My guess is he bought two cans of beans, ate them all, and then filled it with his gaseous, noxious fumes. That's my guess.
Okay.
It fills the room, dude. It fills the room.
In both cases, you're saying that the sun smoked him out. I mean, come on.
Yep.
So, I know you said we have a listener submission here.
Oh, boy.
Why don't we hear
Let's go ahead and hit this
at.
Bad boy. All right, here we go.
Good evening. This is Captain Poland speaking. I apologize. I cannot be there in person, but I have an answer to your riddle, though. The answer of what the third son bought was he bought two little things, a candle and some matchsticks, and he filled the room with light. Isn't that clever? Well, I have to go. The wife is calling, you know, the life of a superhero. Bye-bye.
Superhero.
Is that right?
It is right.
It's butt fumes.
.com.
Butt fumes. I got to get that website.
Yeah, now you got to buy it.
Yeah, good luck. I'm sure it's already taken.
Go find out. I'll run a who is right now.
Do it, man.
Hey, you know what? Do I get half points for guessing matches and the lighting something
on fire?
I was
going to say, yeah, you did say matches. So I would say, yeah, I'd give you points on that. And honestly, judges, I don't know. What do you guys think? I'd give you full points because I think as an answer, given that he bought matches and a candle in the actual answer, and you said he just bought matches, and he filled it with smoke, I'd say that works as a valid answer too. So I'm gonna say we give Adam the win on this one too.
Well, what about methane gas? It's combustible.
If you light that on fire, there won't be a living room. No, I think we'll give both Captain Poland and Adam a correct, you know, thumbs up on this one. So
oh, nice, they're your job, favorites. Guys. I see.
And Jason, your domain name is available.
Oh, man. Hey, can you secure that, please?
Would you love me to add buttfumes.com to my cart? Can't wait to see the bill for that one.
Like, 99 cents a year.
What are some of the other suffixes? Is that what they're called? Where, you know,
if you get all three, you can save 69% on .net, .org, and buttfumes.info.
I think you need to get buttfumes.me.
Is that out there?
M-E, I don't know. That's
oh, yeah, M-E it is available for $3.49 upcharge.
Yeah, buttfumes.me.
Also, there's buttfumes.ninja and buttfumes.life. And here you go, Jason. Buttfumes.guru for $9.99.
Yeah, nice, guru. Nice.
Yeah, I'm the guru of butt fumes.
I kind of like the butt fumes for life. I like that one.
I can't believe we're talking about this. Sorry, listeners. We're more mature than this usually, but
I can't wait to see.
And if any of you listeners buy that domain before I have a chance, you're in trouble. Or if you want to buy it and just give it over to us, that's cool too.
Forward it to the Digital Soup Podcast. DigitalSoupPodcast.com. Just make a change to your A record.
Butt fumes. That's awesome.
Nice. Good to know.
It is.
I can't believe that's not taken.
Well, do we have any real topics to talk about, or are we just going to talk about butt fumes all night?
Well, I do have one. Now, this one isn't brand new news. This happened a couple weeks ago now, and it's one.
So
that we
it have... has to be brand new to be news.
Yeah, this is a little bit older.
This is old.
But we've talked quite a while ago, in a couple times, actually, I think over different episodes, about the importance of backing up and having multiple backup solutions for your home computer system. And that should always include what, like, we, you know, kind of recommended at that point, a 3-point strategy where you've got, you know, one copy on site, a backup on an external that's maybe off site, ideally, and then something in the cloud based. And we've talked before about different services out there like Backblaze and like CrashPlan and like, what's the other big one? There's a Carbonite, some of these. Now,
yeah, there's a lot of them.
Yeah, news came out, this was just a couple weeks ago, that CrashPlan actually announced that they are pulling out of the consumer backup service side of things. Now, they're still going to have all their business and enterprise-level stuff they're doing, but a lot of people started panicking because, of course, if you've got all your stuff backed up and then you find out that they're no longer supporting the service you're using, you know, that's kind of a big, you know, what do I do now kind of a thing. And while that's kind of interesting news that they're doing that, and I'm not sure why exactly they decided to pull out of that game, the cool thing I saw, and maybe it's just me being a little biased because I've used Backblaze for many, many years, but this company was right on top of it, and they went out on a full-out media blitz, especially over their Twitter social media channels and their blogs and everything else, and did a really fantastic job of bringing in and welcoming a ton of the CrashPlan customers by helping them migrate everything over to Backblaze. And I'll tell you what, I mean, I didn't see any of the other companies out there like, you know, Carbonite or any of these other big names doing half as much work to help secure a long-term customer base. And I thought about it, and while it was cool, and maybe some will view it as opportunistic that they jumped on this, but to me, I thought if they're going to put the time in to bring in a bunch of new customers, it just goes to show even more that they're planning on being there for the long run. And I thought it was a pretty cool thing that they did, and they really seemed to make it super easy for these guys, I shouldn't say guys, but these CrashPlan customers to migrate over and take care of all that. So, well, kudos to Backblaze for that.
At least the name checks out. your crash plan. Did you have a plan for when we get rid of your data?
Right.
So looking a little bit on their actual site and what they're saying, they're going to crash plan for home is going to end October of 2018. So over so a year out. For people to get off there. Yep. Carbonite is actually a partner of Crash Plan. So they actually promote Carbonite straight from there.
Okay.
Which is, Carbonite's a good product too. There's a whole lot of choices out there, but you know, right now, if you haven't done any backups yet or invested into a cloud-based backup system and you're seeing some deals pop up because of this, might be a great opportunity.
Right.
I got a question here because I'm not seeing it on the BlackBlaze website.
Sure. BlackBlaze?
BlackBlaze. BlackBlaze.
it's Come back, on. BlackBlaze.
No, BlackBlaze. BlackBlaze. $50 a year, but I don't see, is it unlimited storage?
Bill. Yeah, unlimited.
Is that unlimited? Oh, okay.
Unlimited storage. What's cool about it too is that, you know, any of these services, that initial backup is going to take some time, but it also runs in the background. So you don't necessarily have to schedule, you know, at between the hours of 2 and 3 a.m., it'll incrementally back up whatever you tell it to. But you also have the ability to go in and tell it to do, handle things a little differently based on drives and all of that kind of stuff. Plus, it gives you the ability where I know the old adage was that if you were going to be doing a regular, what do they call, like a constant backup like that, where it's incrementally doing it as things change. The fear was that if something got corrupted, it would back up the corrupted files. Well, with BlackBlaze, what they do is they give you up to, I believe it's 60 days, could be 30 days, something like that, where you can go back actually and restore to just that previous version before something got corrupted, very simply. And then, so, you know, there's not as much of a risk or fear about, you know, if you leave it on to go incrementally, that it's going to just back up some kind of corrupted data, and then you lose everything in the end anyways. So,
well, and that's a really great thing that you're pointing out there. The ability to go back with things like ransomware right now, where your files could get infected and you might not notice for 30 days, the ability to go back and restore some of your stuff from previous is really important. So
yeah, it's very cool. And they have recently kind of upgraded their service a little bit too, where you know, you can access your files, view them and everything right through your mobile phone. You can see them on the website. I've never done any of that, and I have so many files because of my photo work. I mean, terabytes of data there. And you know, if I ever had to do that, it's going to be kind of expensive for me to restore everything, because they're going to have to ship it to me on drives. There's no way for me to download all that. So I'll pay a little bit there. But, you know, to be honest, that's fine for me when if I can just go in. If I get those on a drive and I can just plug them in and be ready to roll, that's such an easier way to do it than trying to download terabytes of data anyway. So I'm fine with that.
Well, they'll sell you a 4-terabyte drive and ship it to you for like $200.
Right.
So I think the work that you've put into all of your to getting your files, especially for you, Dave, as a photographer, definitely worth it. So,
oh yeah, I'd happily pay that.
Great topic to rehash and to bring up again. We can't say enough about having good, strong backups and backup strategy.
Exactly. So what else do you guys have going on this week?
Definitely, you know, backing up is very important. The cloud is amazing.
Buttfumes.com?
Yes, buttfumes.com. No, but if you think about...
Hold on.
It's a new cloud service.
I don't mean
to
interrupt you. Yeah, that is your... We're going to launch the Digital Soup cloud-based backup service, and it is going to be called Buttfumes.
Oh, boy.
Is there a buttfumes.backup? That'd be great.
I think of how hilarious that's going to be when somebody goes, hey, what do you use for your you know, online backup? I use Buttfumes.
Yep.
I love it. I better get my backup going.
Oh, man.
What are you doing? Little butt fumes.
You know what? We have some talented musicians here on this show, and I really think it's about time that they do some type of collaboration parody type song, and I think a butt fume song would be amazing. I picture it as a country song.
You want us to stop collaborating and listen?
No. That's rap. You know, not good rap, but it's rap.
Blame it all on my toots. Okay, that's enough. Let's go on to the next topic. It's like Walking Dead meets Pokemon Go. What's up with that? We've got Walking Dead coming out with a Pokemon Ghost Pokemon.
So, oh boy. So we're gonna have Rick Grimes walking around going Pikachu.
Yeah, Carl.
Yeah, Pikachu, Carl. Carl, I'm gonna Pikachu.
No, that's more like Eugene peeking on. Oh, who was that? The red-haired guy that got killed.
I don't know.
What was his name? Remember when he was peeking on those two having coitus?
Oh, I don't know that part.
I've watched all of one season of Walking
I know Dead, you so. Don't, Dave. I know you saw the first season. But Adam, he's up to date. And you don't remember this? They talk about Eugene being a peepee Tom a lot.
I vaguely remember.
Okay. Well, anyway, let's get back. What's going on with this? Walking Dead meets Pokemon Go. What are you talking about?
Well, it looks like they have a new AR game here. Dave, do you know anything about this?
Sorry.
We're waiting for you to take the lead there, Dave.
Yeah, I clicked your link.
Yeah. I put this link in. I saw it right at the end of the week. I want to say Thursday, Friday last week. And basically, it's called Walking Dead, Our World. Mobile game going to be for both iOS and Android. And essentially, what they're going to do is they're going to take all the elements from Pokemon Go with that augmented reality format, and they're going to turn it into some zombie killing fun, zombie surviving fun. Now, there is no release date on this just yet, but you know, I knew because I had a couple co-hosts that are into The Walking Dead. I wanted to put it in the show notes and see, you know, if you guys are going to be lining up on this, if this is something you think you want to try out, or is this just another gimmicky type app that you're just never going to look at? So,
well, I think with the popularity of Pokemon Go and the Walking Dead fan base, this could actually be pretty cool.
Now, I did not like Pokemon Go, unfortunately, but I'll give this a try.
I've never played Pokemon Go. I did try out briefly the Garfield version, if you remember, we talked about at one point Garfield Go or whatever it was. Essentially the same thing as Pokemon Go, but with Garfield the cat. And I never left my house. I played around with it long enough to open the app and see what I could reach from inside the house, and I was like, all right, whatever, that was fine. Deleted it. And it's just not my type of gaming, but
sure,
I might be interested to check this out just to see how it looks, you know, walking down the street in your neighborhoods. And you know, as you look at your phone, you're gonna see these zombies on your screen and everything else. And
that would actually be kind of creepy if they do it at night.
I mean, especially play it at night. I mean, how cool would that be? And you're walking around and this stuff pops up. But you know what it reminds me of is what was the...
You're going to have kids walking around with... Your kids are going to be walking around with machetes hacking the air and looking at their phone.
What was the movie with Roddy Piper in it with the glasses? Them? No.
Them.
Them.
Yeah.
And that's what it kind of reminds me of. Like, instead of the sunglasses, you've got your phone and you're like, okay, I see this. Oh, there's a zombie. I see him, you know. And it could be interesting. I kind of wonder how much it'll actually be action orientated, if that makes sense, because it's not like you're going to have a controller to be able to do anything.
You're like there, tap, 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 tap.
That's what I'm wondering, if it's going to end up being much more of...
I captured a Michonne.
Right. You know, and I guess some of the characters are going to show up in there, too, to help you out. But I'm kind of curious to see what they do with it. But, I mean, AMC says the game is going to enable players to fully immerse themselves into the action of the hit TV show by blending the digital objects such as characters and other game elements with the player's own environment. So, I mean, they're saying action, so there must be something you can do. Maybe it'll revolve around movements on your phone or something like that to help, you know, act as if you were swinging a baseball bat. Or,
oh,
you know,
great. Now we're going to see people throwing their phones across the street.
Yeah. Actually, that would be kind of entertaining.
Yeah, so new...
Dang it, I ruined my iPhone again.
iPhone new 8 idea. Smashed.
Yeah.
Oh, now I got to go to buttfumes.com and buy a new one.
Oh, yeah. We're a phone retailer. Yeah. Buttfumes.com. Yeah.
Well, buttfumes can be our merch section, because what if we just invented like a wrist strap for your phone, branded it with some kind of, you know, like walking unalive, so that it wasn't copyrighted, and then we could sell it as a companion piece to the Walking Dead Our World game.
Yeah, it's just like a little bungee cord.
Yeah, well, people use those pop sockets. You've seen those. They slip right on the back. They stick on the back of your phone, and then they'll pop out, and you kind of hold it between your fingers as a handle on your phone, but it also acts as a stand, different things like that. They're real popular. You could just make that so that when you push it in and you close it to collapse it, there's a little string that goes and your wrist strap will hang right off of that or something.
Zombie killer.
Yeah. We're putting out billion dollar ideas here.
Yep. Yep. Hey, speaking of AR games, you guys want to be Jedi Masters and have lightsaber duels with some of the biggest Jedi and Sith villains in the Star Wars universe?
Nah.
Me neither. Next topic.
Lame. Doesn't this look cool?
So, I mean, the new Star Wars Jedi Challenges smartphone-powered augmented reality experience. You could pre-order this thing for $200, and basically you can have lightsaber battles using like virtual reality, and it looks pretty insane, actually. Lightsaber controller, a Lenovo Mirage AR headset, and a tracking beacon for accurate tracking of your location. That's pretty incredible.
The screenshots they show. Now, this is available on pre-order at Best Buy, and I'm assuming you'll be able to find it other places. But when I did a search out on Amazon, I couldn't find anything on there for it yet. It could be some kind of a Best Buy exclusive pre-order until it comes out. But what's cool is not only are you doing the lightsaber battles, which of course is going to be the main draw on this thing, but it also lets you do essentially what do they call it? Like strategic combat, they're saying it is. But I'm trying to think of the type of game that is where you're, you know, commanding your army from a top-down kind of perspective.
Like StarCraft?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, StarCraft, something like that. So it looks like there's a version of the game that's doing that. But you can also compete in the Holo Chess game from
I was just going to say that. The Holo Chess game from the Millennium Falcon.
Yeah.
That is definitely not as good as the chess game from Star Trek. The three-leveled Star Trek chess game.
I was going to say, I thought there was one other famous chess-type game that was like that multi-level, but I can't remember what it was.
I used to...
I almost said Harry Potter, but I know it wasn't that.
See, I never seen or read any of the Harry Potters, so
I saw a couple of the movies, never read any of them.
I think you did.
No, I didn't. I was much more into the serious fantasy fiction of things like, you know, Game of Thrones... Robert Jordan's Wheel of Time.
Yeah, I do remember you were a huge Wheel of Time fan.
Yeah, that was a great series. The Terry Brooks Shannara world was awesome. Of course, the classics with, you know, Tolkien and The Hobbit and The Ring series and all of that. But
hey, speaking of that, is that Shannara Chronicles ever coming back, do you know?
I don't know. The first season I thought was interesting as a adaptation of the book. I thought I heard it was getting picked up again, but not by the same, because that was an MTV show, right?
Was it actually good?
I never watched it.
I enjoyed it. I watched it, and it was a little different take. The thing is, in the Shannara books, and particularly that story, at that point in Terry Brooks' writing, everything was very much straight fantasy. I mean, there was magic, there's druids, there's, you know, goblins and all of this stuff.
Now, with those druids, did you like kite and maybe like warp people around and stuff? And were you doing that kind of cool stuff, taking on like 3-4 mobs at once, you know, throwing down some, you know, slow spells and maybe some dots, you know, damage over time, if you guys know what I'm talking about over there?
Put up my web of entanglement.
No. My web of staying a virgin card has just been played.
Yeah, right.
With this one spell, I will ward off all females.
I got to tell you a funny story. I'm not going to try to veer too far off of this, but I am going to tell you this, and this is the God honest truth here.
All right.
One time, I was having a tough time in EverQuest, and Dave will probably tell you.
it's
a hard game. It was a very hard game. I mean, it was hard to get anywhere in it. So I'm like, I'm going to just do this. I'm going to see what happens. I made a female character. And I am not even kidding you here. Guy characters were giving me stuff, high level armor, tons of gold. They just come by. I play the, you could drop, like you could put a whole bunch of stuff in a bag and like drop it behind a tree and it would stay there. But you'd have to know where it is because anybody that walked by, they could grab it. So I would like take all my armor off and I would put it over, you know, behind a tree or something. And I go like, and I'd type in, I just got this game today. I don't know what I'm doing. Can anybody help me? Boom, here's swords. Here's armor. Oh, here's 5,000 gold. Here's...
You're the guy on the internet pretending to be a woman.
Yeah, exactly.
It's
you.
It's Jason. Exactly. And the next thing I did is I went into chat rooms and
I did have to marry a dude on the game, though, unfortunately. Oh, so we had this big ceremony and everything.
Oh, man.
Then we consummated the relationship over Skype.
Oh, yeah. Bro. You engaged in sexual congress.
Congress?
So let's,
what were we talking about? I can't even remember.
I don't know. Star Wars.
And then you were asking about the Chronicles of Shannara, or Shannara Chronicles, whatever.
Oh, the Chronicles of Narnia I was talking about.
Yeah, no.
Yep.
What I was saying there, though, before, with the show, what they did with the books, as you read through the Shannara series, you find out that you get more and more clues, but this was way after the stuff that happens that this show was based on. The book was based on, or the show was based on, I think, the Elf Stones of Shannara. And this was one of his first books he wrote. And in there, there's no hint about what's to come. But as you get 20 years down the road of all these series of novels, you find out that basically the world has been destroyed and it's being rebuilt and things are rehappening. You know, centuries have gone on. And that was the one thing I wasn't sure. I kind of liked it, but I kind of didn't, is because being that it was the television show, they made it very clear that, okay, what these people are calling some fantasy-sounding name of a place, like the Elven Kingdom or whatever else, you see road signs of decay from, like, San Francisco. And so it kind of...
Oh, really?
It kind of gave away...
Spoiler! Yeah,
it kind of gave away stuff that actually happened in a series of, you know, 25
unfortunate
books.
Events.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I mean, and he went through and he wrote, at the time, I remember when he came out with these books, they were called Running with the Demon and some of these books, and everyone thought...
Running with the Demon!
Yeah, and everyone thought that Terry Brooks was just kind of making a foray into Stephen King's world with some kind of fantasy horror.
Well, I was just going to say, did they finally get to that tower and then it just started all over?
Yeah. No, none of that. But yeah, it was. I enjoyed the show, and I'm hoping they come back with more because I thought it was well done, pretty well cast. But what's interesting about it is there's one character that will come back in future books for a short time. But the way his books are, he'd write these trilogies that would change characters every trilogy, and it'd be like another generation forward. So it was kind of different, but. Hopefully, I mean, it was a good show. So,
cool. So sort of like American Horror Story, where it's the same actors playing different characters every year.
Yeah, I've never watched American Horror Story. I've heard the early seasons were really good, but
I saw the first season and the first episode of season two.
Yeah,
how was the first season?
It was good. I liked it a lot. That was the house. The haunted the house.
Get yourself in the house. My name is Jason.
My name is Jason.
Your mama sure does care about your education, son.
That first,
that's the Forrest Gump.
That first
accent, sorry, Dave, go ahead.
The first accent you had about the house, it reminded me of kind of the accent that Zach Galifianakis was doing in that that show movie recently that called Masterminds, where he plays...
I haven't seen it yet, but it looked funny.
It was pretty funny. It's based on a true story, but, I mean, obviously very loosely, but that's where...
Hold on loosely.
Yeah.
Everything should be a song tonight.
Yeah.
Don't let go.
I wish that sounds like a song someone should write. Man, that's a good one.
Yeah.
No.
Maybe they should go on a journey and
find the rest of the rest of the tune to go with it. Yeah. No, Masterminds was fun too. That was one of the few non superhero movies I've watched recently, but he sounded like
Dave's
that.
Like, if it's not superheroes, I'm not watching.
No, it's not that.
If it's not superheroes, it's crap.
You know, the thing is, and we talked about it before, but there's so many between TV shows and the superhero movies out. It's so much work to keep up on those, and just every now and then you find that I just got to watch something else just to cleanse the palate. And of course, Game of Thrones helped with that because. That was, you know, season 7 here just wrapped, and that was really good. And Jason, you're all caught up, right?
Oh yeah, I marathoned 7 seasons just to, you know, get it all done. I did it over 3-day span.
Nice, yeah.
No, but I did finish season 1.
Yeah.
Yay, Jason!
Jason.
So what are your thoughts?
My thoughts on it is this show rocks. Yeah. I mean, I love it. I mean, at the end of season one, and I don't think I'm going to, you know, spoil anything here for anybody because not everybody's like me and doesn't watch anything until the seventh season.
So, spoiler if you haven't.
So, yeah. Right. So we will spoil, you know, fast forward about 5 minutes or so if you don't want to hear this. But I got to tell you, here's some of my thoughts here. I really hate the boy King Joffrey.
Yeah. Everybody
do
does.
Yeah. I do hate him. And
isn't
this is just season
like
one.
He's like 20 in this show, but he's.
Oh, he's a kid.
He's
in the
supposed
books,
to be like yeah. 16 or 17,
he's
right?
He's young, yeah.
And I got to tell you, I'm very disappointed in Littlefinger. I kind of thought, you know, he was there for Ned, but he wasn't.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's so much in this first season. I mean, I want to know everything about these White Walkers. You know, I want to see, you know, what's on the north side of the wall, which you guys have, I'm sure, experienced a lot over what the other six seasons you have.
Yeah, just a but little.
In the first season, in the first season, you know, just a teeny bit. At the end of the season, they're all leaving, you know, and going past the wall to go explore, find out what's going on. So I'm excited for season two.
Is that when? And, is it first season when Jon Snow? He's up at Castle Black right away.
I didn't know what it was called, but I just call it the Wall.
Yeah, at the Wall. That's what they call it too. Mm-hmm. Castle Black is just the main fortress at the Wall where the knights. What is it called now?
The Night's Watch.
The Night's Watch, yeah. Where they house out of there.
They have a nice watch.
Yeah. Because is it the first episode? I don't want to even ask this question because I don't want to spoil it. What does Jon Snow do in this season?
In this season, he's basically, he's struggling with joining the Night Watch. I mean, you know, Tyrion Lannister was trying to ask him why you're doing this.
Right.
You know, you're going to be up here. You're going to have to remain celibate. You're not going to be able to leave. This is your life. Why are you wanting to do this and all
right.
this kind of stuff?
Okay.
And I think he struggled for it, especially once he heard that his father had been executed. And he wants to, you know, he tries to leave. And then, you know, the other, his friends now, I guess they're all friends now, you know, talked him into coming back and stuff. And that's about it. I mean, we're getting ready to leave at the end of the season. Then, you know, the gate opened and they rode their horses through the gate, heading over to the north side to go see what's out there.
And
they did have, remember at the end of the last season, they did find those two bodies, which turned into, you know, they reawoke, they reanimated and, mm-hmm. And then they had to, and they burned them down and stuff.
Okay. Awesome. So at the first season, then he's going to take his oath and Tyrion goes to the wall for what reason? Do you remember?
He rode along with Jon Snow for some reason. Yeah. He wanted to go.
You don't remember the reason why?
Not really.
This is part of why people love Tyrion Lannister, is he rode along because he figured he's this far north. He may never be that far north again. And he wanted to see the wall just so he could pee off the top of it.
Oh, that's the only reason he really went?
Yep. I remember that now.
Yep.
I know he took a whiz. I didn't know that was the reason why he
went
wanted
because
to go.
He wanted to see it once in his life. He didn't know if he'd ever be back there. And he wanted to be able to say that he peed off the wall.
Nice.
He's a great character.
Now, he is, you know, I think I told you guys this, and I told some people at work, because we talk about it now. Everybody's, you know, I have quite a few employees that have watched the show since the beginning, and they are just waiting for me to catch up, because there's so much they want to talk to me about.
Oh,
but
no, yeah.
So we've just been talking about season
Add
one
us
right
to
now.
That list, right, Adam?
Yeah. But everybody's in agreement, though, that Tyrion Lannister is actually a great character. I mean, they like him throughout the series. Mm-hmm. And I'm hoping he doesn't turn into a dick. I mean, I like what I've seen of the first season.
He already is, but that's kind of what's likable about him.
He drinks and knows
things. Well, I like that he slapped around Joffrey, or however you pronounce it. I enjoyed Joffrey.
That was I for a long time, I played very regularly this game. It's a browser-based game called Game of Thrones Ascent. I think I've mentioned it before, and I just unfortunately haven't had a chance to play it much anymore, but it's just kind of a role player to a point, but you don't actually control a character. It's all kind of a text-based thing, you know, similar to some like almost
a
like
mod.
Basically, you know, there's no actual characters running around doing anything. You just craft your stuff and build it and train it and send your people out adventuring, and then there's big alliance versus alliance challenges every couple weeks where Everyone in the game plays head-to-head against each other.
Are there any Lannister family orgies?
Well, no, because it's all a video game. This isn't real life. But in there, there's this quest line that you get, and it's actually a stat that the game keeps track of as you go through, because you can essentially, as you go through to gain more power, you'll reincarnate and start over and redo different houses and build your strength and stats and everything. But one of the quest lines it keeps track of is how many times in that quest line that you've been able to actually get close enough to slap Joffrey. So it's a fun little stat line. So
speaking of slapping Joffrey,
did
The Rock, I heard The Rock died, but then he didn't.
Yeah.
What does that have to do with Joffrey?
Because if anyone's going to do it, you know,
best it's transition
gonna,
I could come up with.
It's going to be The Rock if anyone did it, right?
Yep. He gave him the people's elbow.
Yeah.
You know, it seems like every single one of the Fast and Furious movies since The Rock has joined, he's died in every one of them in real life, I guess. it was like a week ago or so. I woke up in the morning, and you know
did
how
you
your
raise
phone
your
gives
weary
you like
head?
The latest. Yes. Woke up in the morning and I... Oh, sorry.
Raise my weary hair.
I think I used like this old jacket I had to put under my head. It was pretty nice.
Like,
but
are you
anyways,
a cowboy?
Yeah. Anyways,
I'm a steel
my phone...
horse I ride.
Oh, it had the headline, Dwayne The Rock Johnson dies during a stunt, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, what? So I click on the story on my phone real fast and I read it and I'm like, are you serious? You know, I was a little down for a second because I do enjoy, a lot of the movies The Rock does. And I always thought he was a cool character on, wrestling. So the first thing I did was I clicked Dwayne Johnson died in Google, and right away it's like hoax, 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 fake, hoax. I'm like, all right, another one of these fake celebrity deaths.
Yeah.
I don't know why people get off in saying somebody died. I mean, just 2 seconds, you could figure out it wasn't.
It's all clickbait and people want to make
it. It is pretty hilarious. So whenever it gets posted into like Facebook, the amount of people that share it or say RIP and all this kind of stuff without doing any research.
I'm going to change my profile picture to The Rock.
Yeah, rolling
in remembrance of The Rock.
Yeah, with a big old pink bow tied on him. Oh, wait, he didn't have breast cancer.
Well, you guys remember that I told you I named this episode already, right?
I didn't.
It's called Dwayne The Rock Johnson Dies.
Oh, that'll get people to click on it.
Ooh, yeah, definitely clickbait.
That'll definitely get people to click.
I thought that was what
we were going
with.
Yeah. Right?
Yes.
The Rock dies in stunt tragedy.
Well, you know what? Maybe the reason he keeps coming back is because there's a real-life Frankenstein out there.
Yeah, did you guys see this?
There can't be one. That's fake. Fake news.
Well, fake news.
Let's call Sergio.
Yeah.
Let's call what?
Sergio. There's the commercial. There's like two people out there on the internet that got that reference. An Italian neurosurgeon named Sergio Canvero is claiming that next fall in China, he is going to complete a full body transplant, swapping heads on real human bodies.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
That's madness. I mean, he...
how are you going to be able to do that? Because
alive.
You're going to have to sever the spine to do that, and that is going to... Right there is going to make it not be able to happen.
Yeah.
It's...
Decapitation is instant death.
Well, here's the thing, and I agree with you.
Unless you're a zombie.
I agree with you on this, and I don't think this is possible, and I have a feeling this gets shut down before he ever even attempts it. But because he's got, obviously, any logical medical professional is going to come out and speak against this and say, this isn't right, and this can't happen. But apparently... this guy has gone in and performed this. He claims to have severed, then reconnected the spinal cord of a dog. Less than a year later, he published a paper detailing how he created a series of two-headed rodents, basically severing spinal cords of the mice and then reattaching them using something called polyethylene glycol, which he just refers to as glue.
Get me the glue, Martha!
There are so many pathways and connections with like your nerves.
I don't know. And he says that the story of Frankenstein and the reason they're saying this is because he feels that the missing piece of the puzzle is the use of electricity to flow through this substance to help fuse.
It's alive!
Yeah, to help fuse and stimulate instant growth in those very fine little nerve endings and everything else there. Now,
I know every time I'm zapped, I get instant growth.
Yeah, and I'm gonna be perfectly upfront on this one. This story comes across it's claiming like to that, be Jason. Real.
Oh, dang it.
I apologize. I'm tired. I don't even know what I just said.
He like puts a fork in the outlet and he gets and he's like, "All right, honey, I'm ready."
Oh jeez.
No, I did not.
I'm ready, honey.
Fake news. Totally missed it. I'm so
fake
bad.
News.
No.
But anyway,
but
go on.
What I was going to say is this story comes across, they're saying that it is a legit story. I still, like you guys said, I'm not sure if this is a real story or if this is some kind of, you know, hoax or something like that. But everything, when you read the article, they're saying it's real. But, you know, he says they're naming the project Heaven, which is another one of those things to me. It's like, is this for real? You know, I don't know. And everything I looked at, it seemed like it is a real story. But the procedure called Heaven, which is short for Head Anastomosis Venture, whatever that means. So, but basically he said, yeah, it he needs electricity, large pulses of it to coax the fibers into merging in the spinal cord and nerve endings. It's
that's
it's
a lot of electricity.
Yeah.
I was going to say, ooh, do you think Sergio knows what it's worth?
I don't know. What? What's Sergio?
Because Heaven is a place on earth.
I was waiting. I couldn't figure it out. I was thinking. No.
You know, they do say that in Heaven, love does come first. So we really should make Heaven, you know, a place on earth.
Well, according to this scientist, you'll be able to do that. And you'll be able to just swap bodies. That's, you know, anytime you want. You'll be here forever. So you won't have to worry about it. But I love the quote by a neurosurgery. Down. By this neurosurgeon professor named John Pickard from the University of Cambridge. His quote about it, I think, sums this up, and he says just simply, "I just don't think he's done the science."
Oh.
I mean, the thing is that
maybe he's blinded with it, though.
Yeah, could be. I mean, the thing is, when you think about this, he's supposedly got two people lined up to do this procedure next year.
Now, oh, can I be one of them, please? Well, please cut my head off.
Yeah, one of them was, it was something.
Cindy Lauper.
It's oh my gosh.
Sorry. I just came up with a name that fit the socioponymous. Yep.
Lauper right off.
Man. No, one of the people I think was supposed to be someone that is basically in a coma. Brain dead organ donor.
Well, they're definitely not volunteering then.
Right. Yeah. They're
they're voluntold. Here's what you're gonna do.
Here, he'll complete the transplant procedure with two humans, a Chinese national who remains anonymous, and a brain dead organ donor. The head of the former will be attached to the body of the latter.
For about 2 minutes, and then it's gonna reject it and they're gonna die.
Yeah. I mean,
well, why would you attach the head to the ladder though? That's just weird. I mean, because if you're trying to climb up it, you're gonna like literally step on the head.
Yeah.
Well, he wants to knock on Heaven's door.
Yeah. Oh man.
Is it Jacob's ladder that he's putting the head on?
Oh no.
There probably is a Jacob's ladder in his lab.
Right.
You know what? In honor of this, I would like to go watch Young Frankenstein.
Yeah.
That is such a classic movie.
Yeah, it's one I haven't
seen.
This
is scary, though. You know, I swore, didn't the Russians or somebody, or the Germans experiment? Somebody experimented with this a long time ago.
The Nazis did all kinds of experimentation.
Is that what it was? Yeah. Oh, just crazy.
Haven't you watched any of the, played any of the Wolfenstein games? They did all kinds of experimentation.
Well, yeah, and that's all based on pure history.
It is. It's right at the very beginning, it says based on actual events.
Yeah, these events are true and factual. They have not been altered in any way.
There's an Adolf Hitler with all those guns coming out of his body. Remember that?
Like a spider Hitler?
Yes.
Oh, man.
Oh, I just thought of something. The Rock's dad. We're not going to get a Doom 2 movie. Dang it.
You know, I've never even seen the first one.
There is, you know, the movie overall was not the greatest movie. I mean, it was entertaining, but when he takes a serum for some reason. It's been so long since I've seen it. But he takes a serum and it like boosts his healing powers or whatever. It switches for the next 10 minutes. It switches to a first person perspective with the gun and the hands out in front of you, just like the game. It was actually pretty dang cool, that part.
Yeah, I do remember seeing that part of it. And now that you mentioned that,
yeah, you can probably get it.
He's not even in the room. I can't see him anywhere.
Wrecked him. Damn near killed him.
Oh, pert near. So that's. It's probably something I won't be watching or peeking at in the next 365 days.
Yeah.
So, speaking of no peak 365, Dave, what's up with this challenge that you're doing?
Adam, the master of the segue.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
So bad.
This is something I'm just picturing. I still have the same. I wish I could draw or do digital art so bad. Because I really want to make an awesome Usually Dave dive team poster and t-shirt design. Mm-hmm. And I really want to make one that is the Segway guy flying off the cliff with Adam hanging by a sheet as the fire is burning everywhere and Adam reaching all movie poster hero style, trying to grab him and
cliffhanger,
save him.
Right?
Yeah, kind of.
Like cliffhanger.
But yeah. I picture Adam's arm, like just the sheet wrapping around it, you know, just like, I got you. Give me your hand. I'll hold you up. And the Segway guy just hitting the rocks and Adam's like, oh.
And then the Rock dies.
Yeah, he's actually landed on the rock. That's how he died.
Yeah, the Segway did.
Today, Dwayne the Rock Johnson was killed by a Segway falling from a cliff.
Weirdest thing. The cliff was on fire, too.
Where do we go from here? I don't know.
The only witness was a man hanging from a sheet.
Now, the very first thing I thought of when you mentioned that this no peak 365 thing, I thought this was like the exact opposite of like a Snapchat. It was like you take a picture now and it's not ready for a full year. And all of a sudden, a year later, you're not even friends with this person anymore, but you get an image from them.
Okay, that wasn't
as funny as I thought.
No, you're not. I didn't laugh too much because you're not too far off. What this is, you guys are familiar with what a 365 photo project is, right?
No.
One that takes a year?
Well,
I take a picture every day?
Yeah,
is that
traditionally
one of those
that's what it is. You make one photograph a day.
A full circle and then another 5 degrees.
Yeah, right.
No, all right, I'll stop interrupting. Go.
No, it's good. It's all good. No, but this one is a year-long project. They're calling it the No Peak 365, or the official name now has been renamed to the Let It Develop 365. Now, this is something put out there by a podcast I listen to, a photography podcast called Against the Grain, which you can find them over at Graincast TV. We've got the link in the show notes to the project stuff.
Wasn't that a Garth Brooks song?
Against the Grain? Yeah, it actually was, now that you mention it, I think. But this is a photography
Adam,
show.
Let's hear it.
Against the Grain?
Was it Against the Grain?
Something like that.
I don't know why, remember. But all of a sudden all I can think of is Bob Seger's Against the
Wind. Against the Wind, that's what I was thinking of too.
Yep.
No,
I've been running against the wind.
Okay, I'll figure it out here. While Dave talks, I'll figure it out.
So
I just felt like running.
The Against the Grain podcast at Graincast.tv, they are a photography podcast that focuses mainly about film photography and 35 millimeter medium format, all of this stuff. And really, really a good show. It's fun. They come out with an episode, I think, every other week. And so they were talking recently, and I've been chatting with a couple of the guys on Twitter. Got to know the one a little bit, and his name's Cody. And they were talking about this, and then on the episode, they kind of came up with this and said, oh, wouldn't it be cool if we shot a project on film, but we waited to develop the photos till the end of the year? And it came up because there was a listener of their show that had contacted them and wrote something about how she had made some photographs and then wasn't able to look at them right away. And by having some space between the time she took them to the time she actually looked at them, it helped give her a new perspective on the photos and you know, kind of got rid of that immediate emotional attachment so she could kind of get a better edit on the photos and see what photos were actually really good and which were actually just, you know, emotionally, like her memory of the scene was great, but it maybe clouded the vision of the thing. So they were talking about that anyways, and they started joking around, oh, what if we waited a whole year to develop all of our film, and it turned into this project. And so the rules on this one are pretty simple. You don't have to shoot every single day because obviously they realize that film is expensive, you know. But you can shoot a photo every month, every week, every day, whatever you want, as often as you want, as regularly as you want throughout the next year. But the only rule is that you cannot see those photos. You sit on them, you wait to get them developed till the end of the year is up. Then you get it all developed and you can kind of look back. And I decided, you know what?
Cool project.
What the heck? Yeah, I'm going to jump in on this. And I think
dive
it started
in.
September. Yeah, I'm going to dive in. it started September 1st. So I still have to shoot for my first week here. But I was thinking what I might do is try and shoot. I've got about nine rolls of film right now and 35mm. And I'm shooting with a Nikon FA film camera and a mix of a 35mm f2 lens and a 75 to 150 f3.5 lens. And what I'm thinking, if I do all nine rolls in a year, I can shoot about five pictures a week. And so that leaves me, I was thinking kind of a theme of one picture of each of my kids individually, and then maybe one picture of the kids and my wife together. And then that leaves me two to kind of shoot a landscape type photo, which is what I normally do. And so I know the project started and I'm still debating what I'm going to shoot, which is kind of pathetic, but that's kind of what I'm leaning towards. But I think it'll be interesting to not see what I got till next year in September.
Cool.
It's going to be.
So are you going to make like a book out of this when you're done, or what are people doing with all their pictures?
You know, I don't know. I think for everyone, it's a little different. I imagine that there'll be people that, you know, get prints made. I imagine there'll be obviously a lot of work that'll be shared on the websites and things like
fresh
that.
Prints.
Yeah. Fresh prints. I was thinking though, a book is a good idea because, you know, if I do that five a week, I think it's, what does that work out to, over 52 weeks, something like 200 and something photos, I forget. But I could probably do like a volume one, volume two, you know, first half, second
half. Kind
of,
it would be kind of cool to document, you know, this is my 365 project.
And I was also thinking of just doing just like two photos a week where it's just pictures of my kids over the course of the year, just to see how they change in the course, you know, because with digital, I shoot a lot of pictures, but it's so hard because just like when you see them every day, you don't always pick up on those little changes, you know, as they're growing and all of that. And I think it'll be neat at the end of the year to be able to look back and see like, wow, look at this right at this point here in December. She really changed here, or my youngest, you know, whatever happened, you know, stuff goes on. And it just be something a little different to do and really not a big deal because all I got to do is take them. And then the toughest part is going to be the willpower to sit on them for a year. You know, not do anything, but
you can do it.
Yeah.
You know what? I think I might give this a try too. I'll probably go a little different though here. I'm thinking about, you know, taking a, you know, every day a picture of my morning dump and just see, you know, how it, you know, it changes, you know, from day to day. you know, like last night I ate Mexican. The week before I had some Italian. I had a lot of Cheetos.
That's enough digital soup for today, guys. Thanks
in
so much
for this week's edition
us.
Of Digital Poop.
it would be digital poop.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
I was going to say, Dave, did you know what folks call me, though?
No.
A space cowboy? They call me a maverick. You know, because I guess I'm not really too diplomatic. I've just never been the kind, you know, to go, you know, along with everything. You know, I like to avoid confrontation, you know, for the sake of, you know, confirmation. And admit, you know, I tend to sing a different song.
I do recognize that now.
Yes,
it's Against the Grain, Garth Brooks.
Oh, okay.
I do recognize
that. I was correct.
Yeah.
So shut it, Adam.
I do recognize that.
So shut your trap hole, jerk.
Yeah.
No. There's no song called Against the Grain by like Garth Brooks, you loser.
Dave, I think that's a cool project. I look forward to seeing it when it's done.
I think it'll be
fun.
So
that's pretty awesome.
Hopefully, when it comes out, I don't know if I'll put it up. If I do pictures of my kids, obviously, I'm not going to put anything up for sale or anything like that. But,
right.
If I do end up doing more of where there's some landscape stuff in there as well, I might take those landscape ones and put it together in its own book. And I might think about putting that up for sale if people are interested in something like that. I've never really sold, you know, books or anything like that, but I know it's possible.
No, you just give me it for free. It's fine.
Yeah, maybe we can do that too.
You don't have, that way you don't have to start selling.
Right. You know, I don't want to start. No, I not to bring back this horrible, horrible subject, but it just popped in my head when Jason was talking about his project. One of my favorite podcasts I listen to every week called the Tell 'Em Steve Dave podcast. It's the guys from Comic Book Men, but early on in their show, I mean, this was years ago now, the one guy on the Comic Book Men, his name is Ming Chen. He's the he's got a couple shows of his own, but he's the Asian
everybody
tech
Ming
guy.
Chen.
Yeah, but he always would
is
be
is he
on the
merciless
show. No. He seems like a pretty cool dude, but he used to be on he'd come on as a guest on the Tell 'Em Steve Dave show all the time, but he also did a lot of their website work. And the guys from Tell 'Em Steve Dave, and this was a process that went on this prank for like a month or two, where they were doing this contest, fake contest, but everyone thought it was legit, and they were telling people to go to like public restrooms, truck stops, anywhere that had the nastiest destroyed toilet bowls, and they were having them people take pictures of them, and they were having them email them to Ming Chen on the show, and then he had to go through and judge. So they made sure that he was the judge on this, and so he had to look at all of these, and then after it was like a month or 2 months, and he saw, I don't know what they said, hundreds and hundreds of pictures to him. And after that, when it came time for him to pick a winner, they're like, oh, what? That wasn't actually a contest. You thought that was real? And he was just irate, as you can imagine. But just the ultimate prank after they made him look at, hundreds of pictures of just destroyed toilet bowls.
Oh,
just a nasty prank. But one of the reasons I love that show so much.
Now, what's... we don't want to give too much promotion to another show, but Tell 'Em Steve Dave. I don't understand the title. Tell 'Em Steve Dave.
It's a quote from, is it Clerks, I think? Mallrats, it is. Brian Johnson, one of the hosts, and Walt Flanagan, the other host, who are both also on Comic Book Man, they were in Kevin Smith's Mallrats movie and other movies. They're friends of Kevin Smith's. And that was a line that one of the characters said was, because the character's name was Steve Dave. And then the other character...
Oh, the name was really Steve Dave in there?
Yeah, okay. Yeah. And so the other guy was saying, you tell him Steve Dave, that kind of a thing. And so it was just a line from a movie 25 years ago, 20 years ago, whatever it was. And that's just what they decided to call their podcast. So
if you walk the line, you could be Johnny Cash.
Yeah.
And speaking of cash,
yeah,
today's Weekly Garnish.
Well, you know what? Before we do the Weekly Garnish, we need to take just a minute.
Segues.
Adam's loving, Jason's loving the segues.
I've got to come up with more creative ones every time. I'm going to take this as a personal
challenge. There you go.
Okay. I'll press pause on the garn.
Yeah, hold off on the garnish here because we need to take a minute, as we do every single week, and give a little bit of a shout out to the Gunna Geek Network. It's a network of podcasts that we are a very proud member of, and you're going to find all types of different shows there, from everything to do with anything in the geek culture, geek world, anything like that. This week, we're going to talk about a show called All Things Good and Nerdy on the Gunna Geek podcast. To tell you a little bit about what that show is about, I know they had a new episode up this morning, and the promo stuff that they have up isn't updated yet. Get on that, guys, over at ATGN. Get on that. But the general promotion of the show is that each week, the crew from All Things Good and Nerdy run down the latest in geeky and nerdy news. They'll toss in the occasional game, and it all adds up to one wacky weekend morning show with your hosts, Chris, Naki, Anthony, and Willie. They do stream live over at geeks.live every Sunday morning at 11 a.m. Eastern as well. So go check them out. It's a fun show. If you like what you hear here on the Digital Soup, you're going to probably enjoy their show as well. Where we keep it fairly family friendly, they let everything rip. So It's kind of the R-rated digital soup, if you want to think of that. So good show, though. A lot of fun. And I know today's
episode. I can see how this is going to go with Willie here. Is we, we're just a naughty digital soup.
No.
That's all we
They've
are?
Been doing this a very long time. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that we came first. I mean, they're a very
Let it rip,
show.
Huh? What are they, buttfumes.com? Yeah. Come on.
They know buttfumes.com. But when you said Jacob's Ladder earlier, I almost choked because if you listen to this week's episode, you hear all about a piercing in the style of Jacob's Ladder, possibly, and a lot of other pretty raunchy stuff that was absolutely hilarious. So it was a great episode this week. But
so bring the kids.
Yeah, don't bring the kids to this one, but all things good and nerdy over on the Gunna Geek Podcast Network at gunnageek.com. And you'll find not only them as well as a ton of other shows, including us here at the Digital Soup Podcast. If you want to find our stuff over there instead of on our website, which we recommend you go to digitalsuppodcast.com over gunnageek.com.
It is the best site.
It is the best,
site. Website.
Yeah.
It is the number one site in all of Kristofferstan.
What about Chris Kristofferson?
That's what I thought I heard.
That's all I heard. It's the best site that Chris Kristofferson loves it. He was in Blade. Yeah. Get out of here.
You know what I was trying to do there. I just can't do accents, but it was, my sister, number one prostitute in all of Kirpakistan or whatever it was.
Kirkpatrickstan. All right, back to the garnish, guys. Mm-hmm. We got to put some garnish on our soup.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk a little bit about cash. Straight cash, homie.
You guys,
who wants to talk about this one?
You guys seen this app?
No.
I have not.
I hadn't until this morning, and I got to use it firsthand. We had a little...
On purpose?
Yeah, yeah. This was my bandmate, Than, actually sent me a payment via this app this morning because in the rush to get out of the gig we had last night with my band, when we divvied up the money, we had totals wrong and everything else. He basically needed to send me another $55, essentially, is what it boiled down to. No big deal there, but I figured, well, I'll meet him sometime this weekend or he'll mail it, a check, whatever it was. But all of a sudden, I get a text message from him saying, tap here to get your money. And it was this app called Cash, and I'm like, what is this? And I trust him. I mean, it came from a trusted person. You know, it's not like it was just a random thing I got, but I look it up. It's made by the company called Square. They do the payment processing and everything else for mobile phones and tablets.
Oh, I love their Final Fantasy games.
Yeah, not Square Enix. Just Square. And so everyone's pretty familiar with that name. Most likely you've seen it. They sell them right at Walmart.
They make great websites. Makes it easy, too. You just use their template. Oh,
we are plugging all of the normal podcasts. Advertisements without getting paid. We got to stop that. But no, this app, basically, he sent it over to me. I had to click into it. I installed the app. And all I had to do, I did have to enter in a debit card number for my bank. And they send you a code to verify stuff. And it seems like, from what I can find on it, every single transaction you send, you have to do a multi-factor authentication to, you know, verify ID and everything else to help keep things secure. And you can opt to either receive the transaction in the normal transaction period, which is about look to be about 2 business days, or you can get an instant deposit for a 1% fee. And because the amount I was getting wasn't a lot, it came like 55 cents for the transaction fee. I went ahead and just hit instant, and because I wanted to see if this thing worked, and that money was in my account immediately. And so it seems like a pretty cool way if you've got, you know, stuff where you're just kind of occasionally need to send money to someone or, you know, like let's say Jason's out there in Ohio and he wanted to send me some money because, you know, I'm awesome. And,
yeah, right.
And Adam was like, well, you could send me some too. He could easily use this app and send us some money, Adam.
Yeah, absolutely. Why not?
I just thought, you know,
let me download it quick.
Yeah, yeah. And it was super easy to set up. Really, really easy to use. Seems like, you know, it's a very secure app, and I know that the Square name in you know, the payment processing and everything else is very well known and very highly regarded and used by many, many different individuals, and also a lot of businesses are using them as well. So
but back in the 60s, if you were a Square, you were not a cool dude.
Oh, come on, we all know it's hip to be Square.
You know, when I heard about Than,
yeah,
who is from Dave's band,
yeah.
and owed a little money after driving in the van. I have to admit, at first I wasn't a fan, but with this new app, this is where I stand. Ooh. Than is now the man who put cash in Dave's hand, so go ahead and try this app. Cash me if you can.
Nice, I like it.
Boom! Hey, cash.me, it's time to pay up. I just made a slam poetry jingle. Right, right. Slam for you.
Yo, man, he was doing some freestyle jingle for you there, Square.
Yeah. No, you guys...
Yo, we got to pay up, man.
So you guys haven't seen this app before, huh?
No.
Yeah, this is... I hadn't either. I've heard of Square because you see those all over, and I've actually looked into it for a couple different uses, but...
Yep.
The big one is time.
You are just...
And then the smaller one is Baker's. They got all the good pies.
I think there's like a red one over in Russia or something.
This is like the zombie. This is like the zombie puns.
Oh, that was I didn't have. That's the most fun I've ever had on this podcast.
I almost forgot about grains. Oh, that's good.
Garth Brooks against the grains.
Oh,
no.
Oh, man, you guys, you're killing me.
All right, well, I think we're going to have to wrap this puppy up because we're all getting a little punch drunk.
Yeah, and, you know, this was just something I added in because it was, I figured, perfect for our garnish. I got a firsthand experience with it this morning, and it seems like a really cool way to handle those quick payments between friends and things. I don't think as a business you're going to use this, but... On a personal use, it's free app. As long as you're okay with their terms of service, everything looks good there, use it. I mean, try it out. If you got to send money to family members, friends, it seems super, super easy. So
if you want to see how easy it works, just send usually Dave over some money, and we'll let you know if it arrives.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. Good
we,
idea.
We can do that. So before we get out of here, we've got a riddle for next week. Want one? Oh. Or should we skip it? I think Captain Poland might
do this thing.
Yeah, he mentioned in his thing that he's sorry he couldn't be there in person. If we don't give him his riddle, he may come after you, Jason.
Well, you know what? I'll just ask your buddy Chad to have my back. Okay?
He's my buddy, not yours.
As I said, your buddy Chad. Yeah,
trust me, Chad's been planning to have your back for a while.
You're right. I wonder what old Chad's been up to. Anyways,
it's probably in jail or something.
The riddle this week, let's try this one on. It says, this old one runs forever, but never moves at all. He has not lungs nor throat, but still a mighty roaring call. What is it?
Buttfumes.com.
Find all the latest wares at buttfumes.com.
Yeah.
Wow.
Want me to read it again?
Hey, read it one more time, and then I think we'll leave it till next episode to answer. Because, I mean, I obviously got it, but Jason doesn't.
Obviously, he's got it.
All right, it says, this old one runs forever, but never moves at all. He has not lungs nor throat, but still a mighty roaring call. What is it?
Probably a hawk, but let's wait for next year.
Next year?
You know, next year. This is the 365 riddle?
Yeah, no.
We'll catch you next year.
No peak.
One per day. Yeah, no peek at riddle. Awesome. I just want to tell all of our listeners to go check out digitalsouppodcast.com. It's awesome. Mm-hmm. It's our website. It's got, you know, the fake pictures of our faces on there. From there, you can get links to
pictures of our faces.
But remember, in the about section,
the caricatures.
If you want to see us for real, we're on there.
Yeah, click on about us if you actually want to, you know, scar yourself for life. Otherwise, if you... click on subscribe, we've got places you can subscribe to us, whether it's on Apple, Google, TuneIn, Stitcher, or you can listen to us live right there on our website or on Podbean. And additionally, there's links to our social media. We're trying to stay pretty active. So if you want to join the Digital Soup Facebook group, Dave, what's the best method for
doing
that?
Best thing to do, just look up the Digital Soup Podcast community. And
we do have a link for that on our
site.
It's
right on the site. And on our site, is it called it's just called the community, I think, right? Do you have it in front of you?
I think so.
The Digital Soup.
It's called Facebook Hangout is actually what the link says.
So that's what you'll click right on our website. Now, we did just recently change it, so it is a members-only closed group. All that means simply is just that anybody that's not a member of the group is not going to be able to see what we're posting inside the group. So it's really not a big deal. you still just click the request to join button and we're going to let you in. We just did that because we wanted to start doing some additional content there, which on there I did a little Facebook Live video that was really bad quality because my internet seemed to be giving me some issues, I realized, after it was done. But essentially, we want to start being able to do some things like that on the community just for our super friends, the true super friends that are with us each and every week. We want you to join in there and give you guys a little something back as a thank you. And so you get a little bit of a special bonus that not everyone's going to get. So that's really all it is.
Special club, guys. Yep. Special club. So with that, from all of us at the Digital Soup Pass, Digital Soup Podcast, Digital Soup Pass, there's a special pass to get to Digital Soup.
Just check out buttfumes.com.
Yep, just check it out, buttfumes.com. And so now I'm going to have to buy this stupid domain because we talked about it too much.
It's probably already sold.
Yeah, probably. But from all of us at the Digital Soup Podcast, to all you listeners out there throughout the world, thank you so much. We'll catch you next week. Have a good one and stay safe out there.
Later, Gators.
Later, Gators.
Oh, you son of a...
Intro background music is The Run by Kai Engel, licensed under an attribution license through Creative Commons.
He's probably Googling it, isn't
man,
he?
Man, look at my life. I'm a lot like you.
Reminds me of that.
Someone to love me the whole day through.
The cover of the Edmund Fitzgerald record, the Edmund Fitzgerald by Rio Static.
Very similar.
Yeah. Oh, now he's going to play that.
I got to Google it.
Yeah, that was Rio Static.
But Dave's singing it. I'll just play the cover.
I don't remember the words. What were the words?
Something in the record of Edmund Fitzgerald. Edmund Fitzgerald.
It's all about a tale, and I'll tell you
legend
a tale.
Lives on from the Chippewa down of the big lake they call
Gitche-Gumee.
The lake, it is said, never gives up her dead when the skies of November turn gloomy.
Yeah.
Oh, man, look at my life. I'm Edmund Fitzgerald.
I love doing mashups like that.
Is
it's so fun.
When the skies of November turn gloomy.
I don't know, though. I see the next line saying, with a load of iron ore.
26,000 tons more. The Edmund Fitzgerald weighed empty. Oh, man, look at my life. I'm a lot like you.